for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you know, blessed are they. And I was just thinking, well, it says something there. It says, you know, for those who thirst and hunger. So apply that. Apply that to your mind. You know, when you get hungry or when you get thirsty, depending on where you're at, is how much you're going to go after to get to achieve that, to get that. If you're, you know, you could use a drink. You know what? I can still finish this wall before I go and take a drink. But on a hot and summer day, you know, you might all of a sudden just think, I can't do it any longer. I need something to drink right now. And though you might think it's pretty important what you're doing, you're going to drop it and off you go. And it's time to drink. And hunger, I mean, I've never been really, really hungry, but I've heard of stories where there's a desperate situation and people go to a very extreme. We as humans, our bodies go into a mode and we go to an extreme to be able to put something in our mouths because we're going to die if we don't. And so depending on where you are with that is the extreme that you're going to take to achieve that. And I was just thinking, well, wow, you know, how hungry and how thirsty are we after righteousness? Are we after the things of God? Depending on where you're at is probably how much you're going to seek after it and how much time you're going to give yourself to it and how much you're going to long for it. So, but the more you give yourself, the amazing thing about that is the more you give yourself to the things of God, the hungrier you're going to get. The more you're going to want that, the deeper you're going to search, and you'll be filled. You'll be satisfied for sure. But it's so satisfying, I guess, that you just want more. That's how that works. So that's a blessing. Thanks for sharing that, brother. Well, I'm going to be going over Romans chapter 12 today. And I'm sure I will not do sufficient. I'm sure that there's many of you sitting in the pews there that could do a better job than I will be doing. But I pray that nevertheless, that you can at least still be blessed in some way or another and be encouraged. And for me, myself, that's the same. I was going through this, so I am not, Ben said something like, you know, maybe I could go through that chapter for a couple of hours. I'm not that kind of a preacher. To me, it always looks like fun for those that can do that. Some of you, you can just come up here and take a verse and go on, and the blessings never stop coming. They just keep coming and you can do that, but I'm just not that kind of a guy. Not yet anyways. Hopefully one day I will be. That would be nice. But I'll do my best anyways to seek to bring out some blessings here. Maybe if we can just bow our heads and come before God first. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord, and I just want to thank you again for your goodness, your love, Lord, your mercy. Father, it is real. It is real. You have done so much for us, God, and Lord, now here we are again this morning, Lord. And we seek to be edified again, Lord. We seek to be strengthened, encouraged, Father. We seek to be built up, Lord, through your word, Father. Lord, not through my words, Father, but through your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would be with me, Lord, as I speak, Father. Lord, I do not want to speak my own thoughts, my own agendas, my own desires, Lord, but I want to speak your word, Father. And Lord, may it come out pure, Father. And Lord, I know that I am not perfect, Lord, so if something doesn't come out right, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, even that you would go to the extreme and just block the ears, Father, not because I don't want to be caught not being perfect, Lord, but just, Lord, so that your word can come out perfect, Father, Lord, so that you can be glorified and lifted up, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the words that were shared, Father. Lord, I pray that you feed us, Lord, that you quench our hunger and our thirst, Lord, and that we can grow thereby. Amen. So if you want to follow along, I'll be mostly in Romans chapter 12. I'll probably go through the whole thing. And some parts might be a little faster than others. We'll see how it goes, but that's pretty well where I'll be staying. I'll be going a little bit here and there, but so, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So, here we are. It says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So, you know, that can be done. I was thinking about that. That can be done in in so many different ways. I think often when we think about something like that, like our minds very easily just go to something extreme, right? Like let's give ourselves to God. Let's go to Africa, to a little village there where they've never heard the gospel, and let's share the gospel. And that's good. But a lot of these things is calling us to where we're at, where we're walking with the Lord, that we would give ourselves to God. And I'm going to read a verse in Philippians here. It's just one verse. You don't need to turn there. It says it. And, you know, I was also thinking, you know, if I think of, you know, who, when I read things like this, I try to think of examples, you know, where, what does that look like? Where can I find something like that? And instantly, I'm sure for a lot of you, if you think of somebody who has done that, Paul came to my mind right away. You know, he was a living sacrifice for God, for his Savior. He gave himself for it. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 says, I thought this verse said it good here. It says, it's Paul speaking, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So his desire, we can just kind of see what that verse looks like. I'm going to read one more before. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, back to Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Yeah, I mean, so many thoughts. Just thinking about how can we do that? You know, how is our walk with Christ? How do we? A lot of that, I think, comes from even within the mind. You know, when we wake up in the mornings and we plan our day, we go about our day, do we, you know, I was just thinking to myself, I often pray, you know, God, give me an open door, or, you know, give me an opportunity. But I don't think that's always as necessary as what I pray. Rather, Lord, give me the strength when the opportunity comes. Because if we are that, if we give ourselves to that, the opportunities to serve, to be a testimony, to be that for Christ, the opportunities will be there, like, endlessly, if we're taking that opportunity to actually live that out in that way. And the next part of that verse says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I want to read a little story here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Now, I know this here is talking about forgiving, and I know that that's the context there, but I want to read it anyways, and I'll ask you a question after. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have mercy with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And then same thing, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now when we, like I said, I know that this is talking about forgiving, and then, you know, he was forgiven, but he wasn't willing to forgive. But when we read that story, and I always try to picture it and imagine it, if I saw that happening in real life, and, you know, I knew these people, and let's say Gerhard was the one that was forgiven, he begged his Lord, and then he goes and does, you know, Henry owes him some, and then he goes and does what this fellow did here to Henry, it would make you angry. If I knew what had just happened to Gerhard, and now I see how he treats Henry, what would you say? What would be his reasonable service? What should be his reasonable service? And that's kind of where I wanted to go at with that. When it says here, that is our reasonable service, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It is our reasonable service. If we think about the mercy, the grace that God has had upon us, there was absolutely nothing for us that we could do to to inherit what God has given us. There's nothing that we could do to do what God did for us. Absolutely nothing. And yet, He did it willingly because He loved us. And if we think of that, I think it's kind of like the same way as that story, that is a reasonable service, to be able to now go and be that person. After we think about what God has done for us, and just like that, and I was thinking about that story, you know, it's always like, oh, like, that makes me a little bit mad. You know, you've just been forgiven everything, and now somebody comes and he owes you a little, and you're literally going to take him by the throat, and you're going to demand it, and just, he begs you. And just because he can't pay you right now, you're actually going to go and throw him in prison. His reasonable service should have been, oh, don't you worry about a thing, and tell him the story, what had just happened to him, and just, please, don't ever think about that again. And that should be our life. And then I was thinking, you know, that the same feelings that come in me when I read stories like that, does that work the same way in me when I think about me serving God, or me being that for God? Does the same thing happen in me when I am not that person as what it happens in me when I read things like that? And it's like, obviously that should be. I think it's just as obvious that that should be in us as well. That mindset, that desire, that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. There is nothing dramatic or crazy or just out of this world about that. That's very basic, I think. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So be not conformed to this world. So don't become like this world. And, you know, this is something that I think that a lot of our background people take to heart a little bit the wrong way. Often what happens is a group of people will get together and they'll try to run out of this world. You know, they'll try to move somewhere and just completely separate themselves from the world and actually make it difficult to be able to communicate with the world, so to say. So, you know, when the group of Mennonites will move to Mexico, and I've heard anyways, you know, one of the reasons why they don't have rubber on tires and it's just, they want to make it difficult for people to be able to go to town. I'm sure that there's other reasons as well, but they want to be separated from the world so that they can't actually indulge in it. Somewhat of that is right, but it's completely wrong. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So what it is saying, I think, is to not become like the world. And when we're talking about the world, we're not talking about just, there's many things that we do in this world and that we take part in, but I think it's talking about the unrighteousness that the world has to offer. To not be conformed to that, to not become like that. You know, and it says to be transformed, sometimes we might take a house, and a very outdated old farmhouse, and somebody might take it and transform it into a modern house, something completely else. So, you know, if I believe that the context here in this chapter is very directly to Christians, to believers. It says that we are not to become, if we are who we are, you know, we are a born again believer, we are a child of God, to not become like the world, to not let those things come into us. You know, I think that Satan, he would desire, you know, just a little spot in us. You know, if he can just have a little spot in us to dwell in us, and then, you know, he'll start gaining some grounds. Just like, if there's a war going on, soldiers, they might come into a land and they'll just try to get a little piece of that where they can, base it out of. And then they can start moving out. And I think that Satan wants to do that in us, where he wants to come and, you know, gain a little bit of a stronghold, and then he can start pushing his way. But let it not be near us. Let us flee from it. Let us not be conformed to the world, because he will try to conform us to the world so that we will walk away from God, so that will distract us from the things of God. But it says, but be transformed. So there's a recipe. Don't be conformed to the world. So don't just hide yourself in your basement and, you know, I am staying away from the world. You won't be very fruitful in your basement, or if you move to, you know, somewhere out in Bolivia, maybe, where there's no city nearby and you're just going to try to make it there. You won't be very fruitful there. That's not what it's saying. It's telling us where we're at. We are in this world to not become like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind. So, and I think a lot of that happens there. A lot of it happens in our minds, our mindset. What is our mindset? What do we think about? Renew yourself. And I would say even, you know, this can happen at any stage in our life that we might actually need a renewing. But often when people, if there's an older person and they've really lived it up, Corny Jansen always said that they get born again, they might come with a lot of baggage. So there's a lot of renewing that needs to be done. And I can see that that can't all happen in one day. But I think that also needs to happen in us continually, where we renew our minds focused on God, not just on, you know, when we do something. And I think even when we're maybe taking a little bit of a different direction, we're taking a little bit of a different approach, let us think about it. Where is this going to lead us? What is this going to do? Always be ready to renew your mind. Always be ready to think about, where is this going? Where am I going? What is this going to do to me? Where is the end of this? Renew yourself. Think about it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So maybe a little bit of a different approach here, but talking about, you know, if God has put you in a place, don't exalt yourself higher than where God has put you. I don't think it's necessarily saying that, always keep yourself right at the bottom, but I think it's rather saying as where you're at, where God has placed you, don't go beyond God, don't go ahead of God and put yourself higher than where you're actually at. I mean, we do understand that there is authorities, there is people that we honor more, there's people that we give due respect, but don't lift yourself up. Keep yourself in check, so to say. Keep yourself in check so that you're not going ahead of God and you're putting yourself higher than where God has actually placed you. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. And I was also going to say with that, and at the same time, also recognizing that we might not all be at the same place, and some might be even in, let's say, in your gift that you have, and some might be further ahead in that, and some might be behind you, but don't count them now as they are little. Keep that also in our mind, that in God's eyes, we're not all the same parts, we don't all do the same things, and we're not all at the same place, but just because somebody is not where you're at, that doesn't mean that he is nothing. He's also a child of God, and he is where God has placed him. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So just giving the illustration of the body, I think that's very simple and straightforward. Just like our body works together, the toes do their thing, the feet do their thing, the hands do their thing, the brain does their thing. Just like that, we as a body also, we're not all made of the same members, we're not all the same parts, we're different, but we all need to work together, and the only way it really works really good is if there is a bunch of different parts and we're not all the same. So if you're not exactly where, you know, the brother is beside you, that's right, that's good, because not everybody is a finger, not everybody is a toe, and how it really works nicely together is if there's a bunch of different parts, but we also need to acknowledge that all of those, the little toe is needed. It's not there for nothing, it is there for a reason. God has built our bodies this way, just like God. The same thing God does in the body of us as Christians. I believe that He has many different parts that He has given, and they're all very necessary. And also to keep that in our minds, that that is necessary. So when somebody is not where you're at, somebody might be the toe and not the brain or not the mouth that does all the speaking, but he is very important. He is very important and very much needed in the body, just like our members. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. So, going on to the gifts here, just like the body, there is many different gifts in the church, but and, you know, Gerhard touched on that a little bit a couple of Sundays ago when he preached that. I don't think that we necessarily need to, if you don't know your gift, that's okay. If you don't know exactly, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit, you know, Lord, what is my gift? What do you want me to do? But just give yourself to God. Just give yourself to God and to the things of God and walk. Be His vessel, so to say, and He will use you. There's no question about it whether if he will be able to use you or not. You just be his vessel and walk with him, and you will be used, and maybe a gift will become clear to you. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But if you do have a gift and it is clear to you, do it. Do it with, you know, with enthusiasm, or, you know, do it with your whole heart. Give yourself to it. And I believe with that also you can grow in that. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. You know, I was thinking about that one. Well, that one can apply to a lot of us. He that ruleth, do it with diligence. Give yourself to it. You know, we might not all be a ruler of, we might not all be a boss at work. We might not all be an elder in the church, but a lot of us are a husband in the home. So we do have some form of that that we do practice where we are a leader, and give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. Serve the Lord that way and be that and be willing to grow in that. And the next one, also thought about that a little bit. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. And I thought about that one. You know, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. So if you want to be merciful to somebody, be kind to somebody, give them a hand, whatever that may look like, do it with cheerfulness. Well, that's, you know, in a lot of areas, that's pretty easy. Because, you know, if you want to help somebody out, then that's why you're there. You want to help them out. It's not very hard to do that cheerfully, but it could also be a challenge in different ways, because if you're putting up a show, if it's just because that's what we're supposed to do or that's what we're asked to do, it could very easily be that you are that you could show mercy or be merciful to somebody and to not actually really want it. It's not actually really coming from the heart. And it's actually not really your desire. Maybe it is just because, well, the whole church is going there and doing that, and you know what? I'm going to be a part of that, but I don't think he really deserves it. You know, different things can be in your heart, and it can be a challenge. So if you're going to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it with your whole heart and wanting to do it, is I think what it's saying. Like, desire that. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So let love be without dissimulation. I think that kind of means the same thing as hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without just fooling somebody in that. But actually, and I thought of something when I was considering that. Again at the wrong place. I was at the right place. So I was thinking about that. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, without just putting up a show, without, you know, covering something up. What does that look like? And I thought about one person that came to my mind was Joseph. When I'm going to read some of this here in Genesis 45. And Joseph said unto his brethren, this is where he revealed himself. So we know the story. We know what they had done and how that had gone for Joseph. So sure, he's in a high position right now, but it had caused him a lot of grief and I'm sure a lot of hardship and trials because of the action that his brothers took against him. And that caused a lot of consequence in his life. And so it brought him to a lot of places where I'm sure it wasn't just easy to be. And this is where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, where they already thought, they thought the whole time that he was probably dead. He was nowhere anymore. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold unto Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a what is that word there?
Posterity.
In the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith the son of Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you, and ye shall tell my father all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. That's as far as I'm going to go. Now, if we listen to that, and if we think about that situation, after everything that he had gone through, and the opportunity that Joseph would have had to not love them, to not maybe be a little bit kind. I mean, they are his brothers. Maybe do something for them, but to really think about what they had done to him, and to really think about the power that he has, and you know how he can at least pay them back a little bit, at least give them something. They need to face it. How are they ever going to learn if they're not going to feel anything? That's the way I would maybe think. I mean, they gotta learn somehow. But how he acted and how he was to his brother, that was love without dissimulation. That's what that looks like. And that's how we are called to be with one another. That's how I am called to love you, and you are called to love the brother that sits beside you. And yet, that can be hard sometimes. It seems like that different things can come up and bitterness can arise, and that can be a challenge. But nowhere near, I would think, to what Joseph experienced. And yet, you know, his mindset was, I mean, it was towards God. He viewed it the way that, you know what, don't even feel guilty at all. It wasn't even you that sent me. It was God that sent me. He had a plan, and he was just working through you. So praise the Lord that you did that. I'm pretty sure, like, that's the things that were going on in his mind. And he fell upon them, and he kissed them, and he wept with them because he was so happy to see them, that they were there. Forget everything that you've done for me. Love. That is real love. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like without hypocrisy. So, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So, run away from the evil and cleave to that which is good. The last verse in this chapter says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think this is similar. Don't indulge in it. Don't run to it. We do live in a world where there's a lot of wickedness, and we do come across it, but don't take part in it. Turn your eye, walk the other way. If there's something that's tempting you that you might feel like you're going to fall into, obviously we would say that there's places where we just don't want to go at all. We would just completely stay away from them. But even in a lot of little things, and I would say this especially to all of the ones that have been recently born again, maybe in the last couple of years, practice this in your mind. Have this clear in your mind, because as a young Christian, maybe not right after you were born again, you were really excited and things might be a little bit easy. But as time goes on, challenges do come and things do start tempting you. But keep it clear in your mind that walk away from that. Stay away from things that are evil, but rather just hold on to the things that are right. And that will already in itself save you from a lot of evil. Just be close to that which is right. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So again, similar verse. I think that we could apply that story with Joseph here again. That's what it looks like. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So preferring one another. Don't tear people down, but prefer them, lift them up. Not just about yourself. Don't just lift yourself up and just talk about yourself and how good you've been, but build your brother up. Be there for him and love him. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So I was thinking, you know, not slothful in business. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't be careless in the things that you do. And I was thinking even, you know, a lot of these gifts that we talk about there, if you have one of these gifts, you're able to serve the Lord with that, and you know you have a gift of teaching, you know you have a gift of prophecy. I don't know what you all have and what you all know, but don't be slothful in when you have these things. Be motivated, be encouraged in serving the Lord in that, and let that actually grow in you. You might say, well, you know, I have that gift, but it's not really strong. Lord, make me better at it. Don't be lazy in it. Give yourself to it, and you will find yourself growing in that gift that you have or whatever you're doing. Just give yourself to it in serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So rejoicing in hope, don't forget about that. we have much to rejoice about. If we think about our hope that we do have, there is no lack of opportunity in rejoicing in our lives. Patient in tribulation, so when trials do come, don't just give up. Have motivation to continue on. Be patient in tribulation. The Lord is there. He will be with you. Continuing instant in prayer. You can, and I was thinking, you know, often I've thought about it, even in those situations, you know, don't just go to the Lord when trials come and when things get hard, and don't just go to the Lord then. We can come to the Lord in prayer at any time. But at the same time, that's actually a blessing though too. When trials do come and you are facing persecution, you are facing difficult times, the Lord is there. Go to Him with that. He will help you through it. Just trust Him and believe Him and talk to Him and be always ready to pray. Always. Instant in prayer. Don't hesitate, you know, and I've thought about that sometimes. For me in the past, that has even come across, you know, there's something that I really, really needed help with. And the only person that could help me right there and then I knew was God. There was nothing else. There's nothing I could do. But then you feel a little bit sheepish because, you know, well, I wasn't really close. I haven't really been spending a lot of time in prayer in the last week, and now I need something, and oh, now I'm going to go to God. So you feel a little bit cheaper sometimes, but don't miss that opportunity. God is there. Go to Him. You have that opportunity. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. He's always ready. Always be ready to pray. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So I think those two are also very close together. Being ready to help each other out, to give to our brother that is in need. I might have a lot of something and he is in need of something. I'm ready to help him out, give him a hand. It brings relationships closer together. You know each other more when you're doing this, when you're helping each other out. You get to know them. It does something. It brings a love one to another when you can do this. So when there's opportunity, let's continue to do that one for another. And same thing, given to hospitality, we're ready to hand out a need. There's a need, we're able to meet that need, let's be ready to do that. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I know Gerhard touched a little bit on this, and we left a little bit early last Sunday, so I didn't hear Jake Bamman's whole message, but he was, I think, kind of going along this as well. So bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So somebody is persecuting you, and I think this is talking about somebody is doing something to you. Bless and curse not. It can be very easily done when somebody does something to you that is not just. It's unjust. They shouldn't have done it. To want some kind of revenge, to let that work in your mind, get rid of it. Just flee from it. Rather bless them, and that will do a lot more for God than if you do a little bit of revenge. You know, you might have opportunity. You might have opportunity to show them how much you did not appreciate that. But if you can just be on the opposite side and you take it for God, you have that mindset that the suffering that I am receiving here, Lord, it's for you, and I'm thankful that I can do this for you. Have that mindset. And it will go a lot further in the person's mind, in the person that is doing you harm. That will actually cause them to maybe repent and come to the Lord. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so that also, talking about, I think, amongst each other, you know, if somebody has a reason to rejoice, let's rejoice with them. We are connected. We are one body. Stephen and Ida just had a baby, and there's a lot of rejoicing. We are so happy for them. It's wonderful. It's wonderful news. You know, it's healthy. I'm sure that they're very happy. We do that because we are connected, and we see somebody rejoicing, and it's not very hard to rejoice. But I was thinking there's also another side to that, because there can also be a side where maybe you're really striving for something. I'm going to give the example of a farmer. You can apply this in maybe many different areas. But you're farming, you're working hard, you're sweating, you've put a lot of money into it, and for some reason, it just didn't do good at all. At the end of the season, you lost money. What now? I need to buy grain for next year so that I can plant again. And yet, your neighbor, he's also a farmer. He's a lot more careless than I am. He has a field way over there, and for some reason, his did great. Can you rejoice with him? How about a situation like that? Rejoice with him. His did good. And contrary to the other side, maybe you don't really like each other. Maybe you got a little bit on his nerves. Maybe he keeps telling you that, or you telling him that, you need to do things a little bit differently. Well, I've been doing it for 20 years already. And now he sees that, well, your farm didn't do any good. In your mind, I told you so. I told you what to do. I'll weep with him. Be of that mindset. You care about that. His didn't do any good. Though I told him, and maybe if he would have done what I said, it would have done better. But at the end of the day, he lost everything. Weep with him. Feel with him. That's who we are. We are with one another, right? We are the same body. Just like I chop off a finger, the whole body is suffering. There's a loss like that. Let's suffer with them. Let's be that affectionate one to another where we can do that. And where it's not just a show, but it needs to be real. It needs to be within the heart. So that might take a little bit of going to God and asking him for that. I don't know what it all takes, but bring yourself to that place where if you're not there, bring yourself to that place where it's real in your heart, where you really care that much about where you really care that much about each other, where that actually happens. That would be beautiful. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So I think it's just talking about, you know, if you're way up there and there's a guy that you think is way down there, like bring yourself down to him. You're all God's children. Don't be high-minded. Don't think that you're so much better than he is. And that can, again, easily happen with different parts of the body. When we think of the body where obviously the toe, the brain would say to the toe that you're not nearly as important as I am. And, you know, if we had a choice to make, cut off a leg or cut off the little finger, it'd be easy. Well, I'd rather have my little finger chopped off. But don't be that person where you think that the other one is not as much. Like, bring yourself down. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So don't pay back evil for if somebody does you evil. Provide things honest. Be honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I found that interesting how it says it there. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we know that that is not, it's not possible to always have peace with everybody. Because if you are a believer, if you are born again, and you live in this world, and you're walking with God, there's going to be times where peace might just not be possible because you are not ready to walk away from God. You're not ready to defile your conscience and somebody will get offended and you might share with somebody that, you know, the way that they're walking, it's not with God. And they might, you know, they might be in some religious culture where they think they are and offense will happen. So there is times where that is not possible, where offense will come and the peace might be just disrupted a little bit. But as much as lieth within you, try to have peace. Don't desire, don't just go out and carelessly disrupt that, to ruin that. If you can have peace, run after it. It's much better to have peace. So I think that's why I say, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Have that desire. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So I think simply just saying, don't revenge, don't pay back to your enemies, to the people that are not treating you well. Give that place to God. He will take care of it. He'll do a much better job than we will anyways. Usually when I do something like that, it's just like, man, that was... I've done it before, and even in little things, and that was just so stupid. Like, where was I? Like, let God deal with that. Even, I felt pretty dumb the other day, and I mean, he was being pretty dumb too. So I had a little bit of I was waiting to get into a parking lot, and so it was snowy, it was dark, you couldn't see much, and the parking lot was full, somebody was backing out, and I'm there with my big van, very hard to park in a tiny little parking spot, and somebody's behind me getting a little bit impatient, but he's backing out, but he's having a hard time backing out because you can't see anything. It's snowing, and so he's taking time, and then finally that guy got out, and the guy behind me zooms around me and parks there. Like, oh, that bugged me so much. And there was a parking lot right beside there, so I could still park there. It was really hard. But I got in there, and then he had to face me because he came out, and he's like, sorry, you got to do what you got to do, or something like that. And it's like, well, I was really like, well, you didn't have to do that. And I just felt like, well, this guy needs to hear it. That was just plain stupid. But, If I do something like that, you can gladly give it to me. I need that. But a lot of things, if we just let it be, rather be a testimony for God, let God deal with that, it will go a lot better for you and for them. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And again, similar to what we have been talking about already, I think that if we see somebody that even that isn't a part of our church, we might not know him very well, as somebody down the road, and we know that he has a need, and we bring him a dish of food, and it's pretty easy, but it says enemy. So it's somebody that you're not really bestest friends with, maybe somebody that you're grinding with, that you're just not seeing eye to eye. That's what it's talking about here. If he hungers, go and feed him. You're a child of God. God has cleansed you. You're serving the Lord in this, and you're trying to be a testimony. It doesn't matter if you don't... Characters don't need to... This isn't only to people that we get along with, that our characters go well with. This is talking about your enemies, people that at least don't like you. Feed them if they hunger. Do something for them. If you see that they have a need, go and do that and serve the Lord that way. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And that is, I think that's very simple too. I think we would all can very easily apply that to our lives. If we are being rude to somebody, if we're not being nice to somebody, and they are nice in return, oh, that does not feel good. You feel those coals very fast, and you feel just like dumb. And so let that be a service to God when you do that. Let that draws people to him. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So it doesn't just say, the verse isn't just, be not overcome of evil, and that's the end of the verse. So just, run and hide yourself in the basement again, and that's it. I'm not going to, that won't work. We're living in this world, that won't work. That's not an option. We are out there, but I think, again, for the new believers, keep this in your mind. Be not overcome of evil, so stay away from evil, but there's a recipe for that. If somebody tells you, go and make me a cake, okay? Tell me how to do it. Like, give me something so that I can do it. So, be not overcome of evil. The recipe is overcome evil with good. Give yourself to good. Give yourself to the things of the Lord. Give yourself to serving one another. Give yourself to, even that enemy down the road that you're supposed to go and feed, it's fine. You might not really want to do it. And it might go against your grain a little bit because he has been really dumb to you. That's totally fine, I think, to have that. But you know what? That can grow in you. If you would just let that be there and you don't do any good back to him and you just keep, maybe nudging each other a little bit, that will grow and that will cause bitterness in your life. And I guarantee you, at the end of the day, if you eat a lot of chocolate bars, you're not going to be healthy. That is not healthy for your spiritual walk either if you do that. But overcome it, make him a pie, go bring it to him, show him that you're kind, that you love him, that you love Jesus, and you will be able to overcome that evil. That it was hard to do that in the beginning, by the third time, you're going to be excited for it. I guarantee you. You can overcome evil like that. You're challenged with something, give yourself to good things, and all of a sudden, well, you just don't have time, or there's just not room for the evil because you're busy with the good. So simple as well. But I guarantee you it will work every time. You're challenged with something. You're tempted with something. Maybe you've fallen into something. Maybe you're struggling with something. Give yourself to good, and you will be able to. It's a guaranteed recipe. You will be able to overcome it if you give yourself to that. And I thought that a lot of these things are in practical life, in little things in life. I think as we go about our day to day, working, being at home with the family, being busy, doing this and doing that, a lot of these things I think can be a real challenge. And I think it's really good to just be reminded that we are a body of believers. We have been saved. We have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He cleansed us. He forgave us, even though we were going against Him. He had no reason to do that. The only thing that drove Him to that, because He loved us so very much. And He wanted the best for us. And to just remember that. And it is our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice as we go about our days for Him. It's not out of this world. It's not crazy. It's just your reasonable service. So let's do this for the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, just like the body works together, we talked about the body a little bit of Christ. If we can do this all and be a team, and there's probably a lot more in here. There's probably some things that I misquoted, and a lot of you could do a lot better of a job. But if we could really take a recipe like this chapter and live it out, I think the world would be like, whoa. They love Jesus. There is something there. I want that. And it would show. The light would shine. Let's not have that vessel over that light. Let's take it off and let it shine. We're not doing this to promote a name for ourselves, you know, and it's not just because this is what we should do, but because this is what we want to do after what the Lord has done for us. So I am going to leave it at that. A little bit early, but I'll let you close, Jake, or whoever is closing.